God is good. And all the time, God is so very good. A week ago, yesterday, we were at the oncologist's office after a couple of weeks of trying to figure out what was going on with Mom, and y'all were praying, and we were, you know, just scratching our heads trying to figure out what the heck was going on, and we're sitting in the oncologist's office, and he comes in and he says, well, you know, you have cancer, and it's terminal, and really there's nothing that we can do about it. And my mom looked at him, and she says, well, you know, can you tell me about how long I have? And he said, well, only God knows the answer to that question, but I'm going to say between less than a year, maybe 6 months. And her response was, that long? My mom has never, ever, ever been comfortable in this world. She's put up with it. And she's done a good job of it, but she's always, always knew that this wasn't the place that she wanted to spend her eternal life. And so she was ready. She's had her bags packed since I was 10, really, honestly. She's been ready to go to what she refers to as home. So to her, it was the best news she could possibly hear. Her only concern was, you know, am I going to suffer? And in my suffering, will my children suffer? How am I going to do this? I don't want my kids to hurt and to have pain and to suffer. And so, and she certainly didn't want to do it for 6 whole months, which, you know, the doctor's just thinking most people would be going, can you just maybe make it 7 or 8 or 9 months? But I've been thinking about this whole concept of love and death and dying and all those things. And one of the books in the Bible, the book that I've kind of been focused on during the last, 4 to 6 weeks, is 1 John. And so our scripture today is from 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. I'm going to say that again. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? It's a really strong statement. The whole concept of love and loving relationships, and, you know, we hear people say, God loves you, and we talk to each other and sign emails, love you, and love you, babe, or on the phone, you finish the telephone conversation with, I love you. And they're words that come out of my mouth really very easily. And I'm not trying to discount them, because I know I've experienced the love behind those words from mostly everyone that shares those words with me. I've also experienced the love that comes behind, that comes with those words. But the whole concept of love and loving relationships and the fact that God loves me and seems to kind of just, I've just been contemplating it. And I like that word because I used to say I've been thinking about doing lots of thinking, but doesn't contemplating just sound much more spiritual? You can say things like, I'm thinking about how much God loves me, or you can say, I have been contemplating God's love for me. And just think about the difference that makes. I have been contemplating God's love for me. Our scripture today from John tells us that it is our love for each other that shows us that we have passed from death to life, because it shows that we have experienced We have actually experienced God's love for us. And this is how we're able to understand the actual character of who God is. God is love, 1 John 4. God is love. That's who God is. I think we forget that sometimes. We think of God as some being that loves us. But God is love. And I think there's a difference, don't you? In having a God thinking of God as a being that loves us and thinking about God as being love. God is love. So as I contemplate love, I have experienced in this last week and been literally transformed. I get what this means today. I know with every fiber of my being what this scripture is saying today. I've been transformed by this love in the most sacred and in the most powerful way as I've witnessed this, as I've watched my mother's body die. The doctor gave her 6 months. She will probably, when I leave here, not be with us in this world today. She was dying when I left her. And as I watched her die, her body die, I also was able to recognize in her life that her love for others was the expression of the knowledge of God who is love, love that brings life into the world. And I have fallen in love with my mother all over again in a week, but it's hard to express. I'm going to try to do this. You love your mom. You love your children. I loved my mom as my mother. I saw my mom in this week as God's child. She was God's little girl. And she spoke, she talked to me about some of the things that she had been, you know, seeing. She spoke to God. She spoke to Mary Magdalene. She spoke to her brother Freddie, which really wasn't a good conversation. She had a few things to say to him. Why are you so mean? She'd tell him. She talked a lot about food. I said, Mom, do you need anything? One day when she was rallying a couple of days ago, I said, Mom, is there anything that you need? She said, you know, that sweet and sour sauce, but not too spicy. I don't really need it, but if you could get that for me, it'd be great. it has just been so fun. And her voice actually changed. And I don't know how many of you have actually been able to be involved in this sacred kind of an experience. But her voice became the voice to me. It wasn't Mama's voice. It was a child of God's voice. It was a voice that I know God heard, the voice that God gave her, her childlike voice, the voice that, from her spirit. And I fell in love with that person. I just absolutely adore this child of God in a way that, so I would say that when we talk about love transforming us, and as I've contemplated love as an expression of the transforming power of God at work in us, wow. Like my son Christopher says, words are stupid. When it comes to stuff like this, there just aren't any words. You have to just be able to experience it. One of the things that was really, again, a wonderful, loving experience for me was a letter that my son wrote to me, and he allowed me to share it with you. I'm going to share it with you. So, when he found out that Grandma was dying, he wrote this, and he sent this to me. He said, I wrote this morning when I got home from work. This was last Saturday, I think, at 1:30 in the morning. It says, it's as honest as I can be with no hands and just my words. Words really don't work when it comes to things like these. Words were created to be symbols to signify some kind of idea or to transmit some kind of instruction or communication of recognition. But this, what I am using to describe, transcends idea or recognition because what I'm referring to is the unknown and the loss that the living feel for those we love who have crossed this plane of existence into the other. There is a simple word for it that everyone understands, but it's a word that people often refuse to say. The word is die. Die. I always wake up knowing what I don't know. He says, before I was born, I knew nothing of life. I was ignorant with an excuse. Now that I'm aware of my ignorance, I have no excuses. I was born just like everyone else. My birth was a miracle. You can take that statement any way you'd like to. But like all miracles, I told him it was an immaculate conception. And he chooses to believe that. Perception is our reality. Like all miracles, my life needed a miracle worker. He said, my mother worked miracles, not because she tried to, though. She did because that is simply her nature. She believes in them, and because of this, they are real to her. They are real to me. My mother has conviction in her belief. I believe that may be why I have lived my whole life undermining them. That's my boy. Because I don't understand why I exist, and if I can't figure out how things work, I take it as a personal challenge. I want to understand everything. I don't understand why my mother would choose the life she has, because I don't understand her faith. It's a big statement, isn't it? How many people do you know in your life, including your children, that don't understand your faith? But I'll read on. It gets better. He goes on to say, no one makes it out of here alive. Very few make it out of here with their souls intact. It's a fool who would starve their eternal soul to feed their temporal body. I believe this is the message of Christ. To live, love, is to live forever because the flesh is weak. It is a short-term thing. It is a bus ride. The Buddhists call it jhana, or a ferry boat. I know my grandma, that's how he says it, grandma. I know my grandma is on this boat because she was already here when I got here, and I know we have the same destination. I know she is part of me, and I am part of her. I know it because of the smiling and the laughter. Not just my own, but hers. My smile is her smile. Our laughter is recognized. I look like her. We both have a mole on our left cheek. We are both infinitely bonded with my mother. Her firstborn daughter is my mother, and I am my mother's firstborn son. I was her first grandchild. She has always been an example of kindness to me. She has been an example of love and wisdom to me. She never claimed to be perfect, and that is why she always was to me. She always loved me, and that is why she will always be to me. Now, this is the part where my words fail. I can never say how much she means to me. I could never make her understand that I am who I am because of who she is. I could never convince her that I understood who and what she is and what that makes me. But because she is who she is, I never had to. She always knew more than she let on. She always understood things that went unsaid. I am the flesh of her flesh and the blood of her blood. I am also an individual. I knew she would always accept and cherish, regardless of what kind of person I became. But she made me want to be a good person. She was here before me and showed me in her own way how to make my way in this world. Now she's leaving, and I expect her to be there on the other side, waiting for me to do it all again, because I don't know how I could have traversed this plane without her guidance and example. I have to be honest. I'm scared. When I was thrust into this world, though, and she was there when I have to be honest. I am scared. I was scared when I was thrust into this world, though, and she was there when I was. I don't remember, but I'm sure she does, how I screamed and shivered at the coldness of the world upon my arrival. I'm scared of the world without her, but I know what life's going to be okay, and I'm willing to put my faith in her faith and trust her that death, like birth, will be okay. The world is a hell of a place. It is no place for someone I love as dearly as I love my grandma Maria. I want to go with her. I almost did this. I want to go with her, but I know I have to wait my turn, and I know I will have it, and when I do, I know there will be a familiar love waiting for me there. She was there, she was here when I got here, and she'll be there when I go there. She has always been there for me. Now I have to figure out the words to say to her, or so she understands that it's okay. And I have to convince myself of this as well, because even though I know it's how the world works, and I always knew it was coming, it hurts. I know it hurts her too. We will have to agree on, just to agree then, and I'm sure that Jesus will as well. Life is for everyone, and death is for everyone too. It breaks my heart to think of my world without you in it. I'm always a better, kinder person with a broken heart, though. Eternity is a long time, and I won't ask, are we there yet? I promise I will never tell you how much losing you hurts if you promise always to be close to me, not with words. Words are stupid. Just the way you always have before I learned to speak English. So this is what love is. When we read in John, and this is the voluntary self-giving of Jesus to others, what Grandma was for Christopher and for all her grandchildren and for all her children and for the hordes of people that have come through my house leaving food in the last week was love. She was the love of God. She was the love of God to them. And this is what God is calling us to do. It's hard to do, and Mom got it. She understood that the only way to live is to die to yourself. And so she gave everything she had, and she knew at a very young age that this world had nothing to offer her, nothing whatsoever. There's nothing in this world that she clung to. This is the love that she felt. So giving our love, the love of Jesus to others in life and in death, that constitutes the epitome of God's love. Not only do we see the fullness of God's love in Christ's death, we see it also as the essence of love itself. God's love is not simply a thing to be admired. It is rather it's the power that transforms and transfers those who have faith from death to life. It's what transforms us from death to life. So, as I contemplate, I love that word, what it means to pass from death to life, and I realize that love is not attachment. That's the word. So often we think we need to hold on to our loved ones. We assume that we need to grasp in order to ensure we're not going to lose them. As people were coming through Grandma's house, the grandkids and my sisters and her sisters, and, you know, they're looking around and they're asking, you know, I love that, or I remember, you know, Grandma wore that. Can I have that? They want something. They want to have, and to them, that's, they're attached to her stuff. And I started to think about that, and as I was looking around her living room, I woke up on her couch this morning, and I'm thinking, there's nothing in this room that I want or need. It's not what I'm attached to, and Mom's going to be with me always. I did confess that I'm going to take the robe that I slept in every night because it smells like her, because I'm kind of attached to the smell of her, but we get attached to things, and somehow we think those things are what brings us the love, or it helps us with that love, or we can hold on to the love. We assume that we need to grasp it in order to ensure that we're not going to lose them. And I heard this question also several times in the last week as people would come, and they would say this question, and I've even asked it myself, how can we go on without Mom? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to keep living without Mom in our lives? How often attachment is mistaken for love. And I think that love is spoiled by the attachment. Because what happens is with attachment, it's insecurity, it's possessiveness. And it's actually, for me, as I contemplated this, I realized it's pride. It's about being proud. It's my pride. And so what I have to die to is my pride. My pride. I have to let that go. I need to let it die so that I will be able to pass from death to life. When the thing that we attach ourselves to is gone, all we have left really are the souvenirs of love. And souvenirs of love aren't the same thing, are they? They're not love. And actually, sometimes the scars of the attachment that we had to them. So we need to be able to die. We need to let that go. We need to be able to die to that and just let it go. We believe that if we let go, if we die to our desires, we're going to end up with nothing. We're so afraid that we'll just end up alone and with nothing. And Jesus messes with our world because Jesus is opposite total bizarro world. Jesus says to us, die to the world. Let it go. Die in order. This is what he says. Die and you will live. That's kind of messed up, isn't it? The way we think. Die and you will live. Mom's prayer book. I'm not attached to it. I just borrowed it. Mom's prayer work was sitting on the, you know, on her nightstand, and I picked it up, and I turned to the page that she had marked, and it just so happens that the prayer book is called Imitations of Christ. I don't know if any of you have ever read it, but I recommend it. It's a really good prayer book, and her page markers were in there, and she had some things in there, but I'm just going to read to you what she had marked in her prayer book, and I don't know when she marked this, but this is what it says. Glasses. Kind of attached to these things. It says, "Oh, my dearly beloved, from what great danger may you deliver yourself? From what great a fear may you be freed if you would be always fearful and looking for death? Strive now so to live that in the hour of your death you may rather rejoice than fear. Learn how to die to the world that then you may begin to live with Christ. Learn now to despise all things, that then you may freely go to Christ. Chastise your body now by penance, that you may then have an assured confidence." And then it goes on to say, do now, beloved, all you can, because you know not when you will die. Nor do you know what will happen to you after death. While you have time, heap to yourself riches that will never die. Think of nothing but your salvation. Care for nothing but the things of God. Make now to yourself friends by honoring the saints of God and imitating their actions, that when you will fail in this life, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Keep yourself as a pilgrim and a stranger upon earth, to whom the affairs of this world do not in the least belong. Keep your heart free and raised upwards to God, because you have not here a lasting abode. Send heavenward your daily prayers with sighs and tears, and after death your spirit may be worthy to pass happily to our Lord. Amen." And so here's the irony of it all. As I'm sitting with my mom, holding her hand and watching her die, and at the same time dying to a lot of the stuff that I needed to die to, at my house, my son is painting my guest room and getting it ready for the arrival of his son and my grandbaby, my first grandbaby, who we're expecting in April. And so I go from one house where I'm sending mom into a birth. And it was funny because I realized that my mom was asking me when, you know, a couple of days ago when she was still kind of able, you know, to talk. And she said, you know, I said, "Mom, are you scared? You know, is there anything that you're afraid of? Are you at peace?" She says, "You know, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I'm just kind of wondering what it's going to be like." And I said, "You know, to me, I'm thinking it might be like, do you remember when you had us kids, five of us?" She said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Do you remember when you went into labor and, you know, it kind of started out and you get these contractions and they just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger?" And she's, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "And then after a while, it was time to push. And then you started to push." And I said, "I think you're, and, you know, and then after you push, that pretty soon you give birth to this child. And then what happens?" And she's like, "You forget. Immediately forget. And you just have this overwhelming love and this feeling of just, you know, words are stupid. You can't find words to describe what it feels like to bring that life into the world." And I said, "Well, Mama, you're almost ready to push." And so yesterday we were in there saying our prayers, and she said, "I'm getting ready to push." No, she said, "Having a baby's hard." I said, "It's all hard, Mama, but God is good. God is so good." And so we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Mom's favorite prayer was the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And so Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Let all God's children say, Amen.